there's several things that's going to be taking place. So let's just stop right now and let's pray for Annie. Annie just had a little episode, and so we want to pray for her. So, Lord, I come before you, and Lord, I want to lift up Annie to you. And Lord, I thank you that you are moving in her spirit right now and moving in her heart. And Lord, whatever took place, whether fainting or whatever it was, Lord, that you're moving right now and you're bringing healing in that situation. And Lord, we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you okay now? Next week, there's a pastor from Cuba who is going to be coming and speaking. And so I have a friend over in Portland who preaches. So in Cuba, they don't speak Cubanese. They speak Spanish. And so I have a Spanish-speaking friend over in Cuba. I'm sorry, who over in Portland area, Beaverton area, who has a brother that pastors in Cuba. The pastor in Cuba is coming to speak to us next Sunday. However, he can't speak English, but his wife is going to be doing the speaking, okay? And sharing with us what's going on in Cuba. He actually has a church that does not have a building. They meet under mango trees. They have a congregation of about 200 people. And so you'll be able to hear what God's doing in Cuba from the pastor next week. And so just want to let you know those things. At the close of the service, Paul will be sharing about last year we brought food in for those families and we bless them with food. So Paul will be sharing with us at the close of the service about doing that again. Okay. Also, this is Betty's last week to be with us. And it's a sad day for us because she has moved to Albany about a year ago, maybe not that long ago. Seems like it's been that long. It hasn't been that long, but she's moved to Albany, gotten a job there and living there. But has been coming faithfully, driving from Albany every Sunday to come be with us. But she feels like that she needs to find a church in Albany now. And we're going to miss her, but we're going to bless her as well. Also, we had several people come to our membership class last week. Terry Blair, Nikki Rose, Todd Perman, Denise, Rhea, Karis, and there's a few of them who want to, there's several of them who, I guess all of them want to become members of our church, but there are some who have to wait for baptism and other life things going on in their life. So I would like to present to you this morning Terry Blair, Nikki Rose, and Todd Perman for church membership. Do I hear a motion that they be received into our congregation? All right. Nikki, Terry, and Todd. All right. All right, and motion's been made and seconded, and about 16 people said that's what they wanted to do. And everybody says amen?
Amen.
Amen. So praise the Lord. Welcome, Todd. Nikki's not here today, nor is Terry, but we can welcome them when they get here.
She's okay.
She's on a writing
retreat.
Oh, okay. All right, so Nikki's on a retreat. Pardon? Terry's sick today. Okay. So anyway, I'll be talking to Rhea Moore and Rhea Blair Moore, and she will be receiving baptism, and I want to take to Jacob Moore. I want to talk to Karis Moore, And so we may have a whole host of them being baptized before long. So I'm sure, I want us to, before we begin this morning, I want us to pray for the church in Texas. They've already met this morning. Their services were a couple of hours ago. They're a couple of hours ahead of us. They've determined they're not going to be able to meet in their building anymore. Though the building was damaged, it's just too hard to go back in there. So they're, from my understanding, they're meeting in a community center right now until the Lord provides other things. But my heart has been troubled about that all week long. My heart goes out to the pastor. My heart goes out to the family members. I'm sure you're aware of the pastor. There were about 50 people in the congregation. 26 of them were killed. 20 were wounded. And they're one of our sister churches. They belong to the same family that we belong to. And so I want us this morning, before we go any further, to lift our hearts to the Lord, lift our concerns to the Lord. I can't imagine what it would have been like to be a pastor of that church and come back home. The pastor and his wife were out of town. His associate pastor was filling the pulpit, and the associate pastor was killed, as well as the associate pastor's wife. And so I can't, the pastor's 14-year-old daughter was killed, and so I can't imagine the grief that he's in right now, nor family members in the community. But I do know this: God can use it for his glory. I do know that. And Scripture says that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And I don't know how God's going to do this, but my prayer is that the response of the church would be such that the whole world would recognize there's something different about those saints there in Meadowbrook Springs, Texas. And so before we go any further with our service today, I'd like for us just to stand, grab hands, and let's pray for the church in Texas. And as the Lord leads you, then I'm going to give you permission to just voice those prayers to the Lord. Yes. Yes. Yes.
I cannot imagine what it would be like to be in that place at that time. fear grip you. So, Lord, we come against the enemy who brings fear, who brings confusion, who brings everything evil, Lord. And we just come to you and ask that you would rebuke the enemy, God, that you would beat down the enemy's attempts to break people's spirits to come and worship you.
Yes,
and
Lord.
That your Holy Spirit would fill each and every member of that church, and that they would rise up and become a shining beacon on top of a hill that can't be covered.
Yeah.
That they would love people more, that they would love you more,
yeah.
That they would trust you more. And I know they'll get there, and I know it's going to be really difficult, but I know your Spirit is enough to fill them and keep them and to encourage them to move in that direction. So God, would you just fill that congregation? Lord, would you let them know they are not alone, and that you're with them.
Yes, Lord.
That their brothers and sisters are praying for them. Lord, would you put them on our minds frequently? Because this is a long-term thing. Help us not to forget.
Yeah.
Lord, help us to remember them diligently in prayer, in our prayers, Lord, that we would lift them up like we would want to be lifted up. If that happened here,
yeah.
Lord, we would need people to pray. So God, would you make us a people of prayer?
Yeah.
Especially in this instance, in Jesus' name.
Lord, I want to pray against a spirit of fear in among your people. Lord, I can imagine that there would be congregations or people within congregations who, Lord, the enemy has instilled a spirit of fear in them. And so we just stand against that in the name of Jesus. Lord, you said that perfect love casts out fear. And so, Lord, I ask that you would bring perfect love upon not only that church in Texas, and that there would be no fear that resides there. But, Lord, I pray that perfect love would be instilled in all of our hearts so that no fear could reside here as well. And, Lord, we just pray that you would give us wisdom and understanding. Give us spirits of discernment, that we may be able to follow you and do those things that are pleasing in your sight. And we pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, turn in your Bibles this morning to Nehemiah. We're going to stay in one focal passage, is Nehemiah chapter 1. And I want to share with you, particularly you veterans, how many of you were during the Korean War? A couple of you, three of you. When I went to the Northwest Baptist Convention this week, Pastor David Che, who is the pastor at First Baptist Church in Tacoma, spoke. It's a congregation of about 5,000 people, and he's Korean. And so while he was speaking English, I was able to understand most of what he said. Sometimes my ear is not tuned to a Korean accent. But this one of the things he said was that coming from South Korea, he wanted to share his appreciation for all of those who fought for the liberty of Korea. For 36 years, the Koreans were under Japanese domination. And when the Americans came in and gave them liberty, it transformed their nation. And so from him, I want to say to you, you veterans, thank you. He also shared that he had been invited, or he went to South Korea to do an evangelistic outreach. And he showed some of the video that was taking place as he spoke. And he preached to 15,000 South Korean soldiers. And he gave an invitation. He preached Jesus Christ. He gave an invitation. And he asked for all of those who wanted to receive Christ as their personal Lord and Savior to stand. And as the camera was panning across the 15,000 soldiers, there were very few who remained seated. And then he shared this. He said, after they prayed to receive Christ, 15,000 soldiers prayed for 3 days and three nights. They did not get any sleep. They just prayed. South Korea, of course, if you're aware of North Korea's threats and things that are taking place, those new believers realize their really only hope is God. Because if North Korea decides to pull the trigger, they have about 5 seconds to be ready. So it was amazing to hear him speak. He also said every morning at 6 a.m., his 5,000 member congregation joins for prayer, praying for our nation. And that just moved me. Today I want to look at Nehemiah chapter 1 and look at, because I, unless the Lord does something in our country, it's only going to get worse. It's not going to get better. Okay? Unless the Lord sends a revival in our land, we've got some dark days ahead. Okay? And you don't have to be a prophet to see that. Some of you who are older, as I am, and you've seen where America has come from and where it is now, it grieves you as it does me. Looking at Nehemiah chapter 1, I just want to read the whole chapter, which is 11 verses. Then I want to make some comments. Let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, came to pass in the month of Chesliv, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the citadel, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came with men from Judah. I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. So it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And I said, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments, please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night. For the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Both my father's house and I have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. Remember, I pray, the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you were cast out to the farthest part of the heavens, yet I will gather them from there and bring them to the place which I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. Now these are your servants and your people whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant. prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name. Let your servant prosper this day, I pray, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Father, I pray that you'd bless the reading of your word and the exhortation that is going to be presented this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. One of the things I want to call your attention to is Nehemiah was in Babylon. He was the cupbearer to the king. Basically, what that means is that he was the one who tasted the food and drank the wine to see if it was poison. And he was the cupbearer before the king, and he and the king had a pretty good relationship. But one day, one of Nehemiah's brothers came from Jerusalem, and he said, "How are things going in Jerusalem?" And the brother began sharing with Nehemiah that the walls were torn down and the gates were burned, and the country is not the way it was when you left. In Nehemiah, in verse 4, it says he began crying, began weeping, he began fasting, and he began praying. I think the first thing that we need to recognize in Nehemiah's life is that he cared. There was something about him that cared about his homeland. He was brokenhearted over what had taken place in his homeland. And he couldn't get past it. And because of his brokenheartedness, he was willing to cry out to the Lord. He was willing to fast, and he was willing to pray. And if I don't remember to tell you this later on in the service, when Nehemiah was released from the king to go back to Israel and start building the wall, it was 52 days in the building. 52 days. Because of a prayer that Nehemiah prayed. You know, I began thinking about this and wondering, why don't God's children pray? Why is there prayerlessness among God's children? I think one of the things is that there's a lack of love. I think if we really cared about each other, if we really cared about the nation, if we really cared, that how could we not pray? How could we not pray? Also, I'm thinking that there's a lack of concern, there's a lack of humility. If there's pride, and you think, man, I can just do this myself, why do you need to pray? So perhaps there's not the spirit of humility that needs to be there, otherwise we would be praying. Maybe we don't realize our dependency is upon the Lord. Maybe we think, and I think most Americans feel like, I can handle this. Pulled up myself up by my own bootstraps. I'm independent. I don't need anyone else. I can do it myself. I think that has crept over into the church, or maybe when a lot of Christians come to know the Lord, they have not left that part by the wayside. So So there's a prayerlessness, and a major reason perhaps is because we just don't care enough. We don't love. But Nehemiah cared enough, and so therefore he prayed. Therefore he prayed. And looking at verses 5, verses 7 and 8, we find in his prayer that there were some things that took place. One of the things that took place was that he had a spirit of thanksgiving. And he began to thank the Lord not only for who he was, but he began to remind the Lord and maybe remind himself of his promises. There was an attitude of thanksgiving, and Nehemiah knew the word of the Lord and began praying to the Lord and praying, offering thanksgiving to him and saying to the Lord, "Lord, do you remember the promises that you made? You're a great and mighty and a holy and an awesome and a wonderful God. And do you remember the promises you made that if we return to you, what you're going to do?" So I think sometimes in our prayer lives, I know that we need to have a spirit of thanksgiving. And we need to have an understanding of what God has promised us so that we can remind ourselves and we can remind the Lord, "Lord, this is what you've promised. And I'm going to hold on to your promises. Not because of anything else, but because of who you are." And as we talked about last week, Jesus is the way. Not only is he the way, but he's the truth. God's word is truth. Nehemiah knew that God's word was truth, and so he was holding on to God's truth with all of his heart. So he began praying God's truth back to him. But not only did he pray God's truth, not only did he pray in thanksgiving, he also prayed in repentance. And verses 7 and 8, verses 7 and 8 talks about repentance. He says, "We have acted corruptly against you. We haven't kept your commandments or statutes that you commanded Moses. We have been unfaithful." He goes on to pray and talks about not only himself, but his parents, his grandparents, and his forefathers have been negligent in turning to the Lord. So Nehemiah, as he's praying to the Lord, he begins to take responsibility for his own actions that have put him where Israel is. Not only has he taken responsibility for his own actions, but he's taken responsibility for his parents' actions. He's taken responsibility for his forefathers. He's taken responsibility for the nation of Israel. And when he's coming before the Lord and he's repenting, he's not just repenting for his own stuff, but for the decisions that have been made before him that has led them to this place. God has given him a spirit of repentance. And the next thing we find out in the last verse of that chapter, he says, I pray, Lord, let your ear be attentive the prayer of your servant, the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name, and let your servant prosper this day. I pray and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. One of the things that I discover with Nehemiah is that not right after he prays, he just doesn't jump into whatever. He waits on the Lord. He waits on the Lord. As a matter of fact, from the time he prayed this prayer until he approached the king, it's 4 months. 4 months' time. He's praying, he's fasting, he's crying, he's repenting, he's giving thanks, He's reminding the Lord of his promises, and he is approaching the Lord with his heart, with a broken heart, and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. 4 months pass, and then in chapter 2, he's before the king Artaxerxes. And so he's before the king, and he comes in before the king, and the king says to Nehemiah, "Why are you so sad? You've never been sad in my presence before." And Scripture says Nehemiah was terrified. He was scared. Because he didn't know, he had never been in, when you go before the king, you're always happy. Okay? When you go before the king, you're never sad. Because you are responsible for helping the king be happy. So Nehemiah was terrified for his life. But this is what he did. After praying, he began sharing with the king. He began sharing with the king what was on his heart. Do you need some assistance, Mary Lou? Larry, would you go help Mary Lou, please? Thank you. Noah. I have to look to make sure I'm calling him the right name. Yeah. So Nehemiah waits. He waits 4 months before he does anything. Then when the opportunity comes, he shares. So sometimes... Sometimes, maybe we've been praying for people and praying about a situation and praying about difficult things that are going on in our life. And then, perhaps the Lord gives us an opportunity to share, and we don't. We just kind of keep it to ourselves. And we think praying is enough. What if Nehemiah had gone before the king, and the king said to Nehemiah, "What's wrong, Nehemiah?" And Nehemiah said, "Oh, I'm just under the weather." What do you think would have happened? Nothing. And he could still be praying. Could still be praying. Could still be praying. And nothing happened. But after prayer, you need to, after you've prayed for something, you need to look and see how God's going to give you the opportunity to build a wall. Or give you the opportunity to share Christ. King Artaxerxes was not, and I'm going to just call him Xerxes easy. So King Xerxes was not a believer. But he saw that Nehemiah was a believer. And because of Nehemiah's belief, when Nehemiah asked King Xerxes if he could go to Israel and start building the wall, the king said, "Okay, how long are you going to be there?" And King also said, "What materials do you need? And so you let me know what your materials you need. Give me your building materials list, and I will provide that for you." That's kind of crazy, isn't it? That's kind of crazy. Why would King Xerxes, who's not a believer, do that? Yeah, because of prayers. Because of prayers. sometimes as we pray, God says, okay, I want to answer your prayer, but I want to answer your prayer through you. Oh, I wanted somebody else to do it. You know, I don't know where Nehemiah's heart was as far as projecting way out into the future. I don't know that he knew the king was going to supply all that stuff. I don't think he knew that the king was going to give him permission to go to Israel and start building the wall. I don't think he knew that the king was going to make him governor over Israel. I don't think he knew that. But he knew this one thing. He had to present it to the king. That's what he knew. And in his prayer, he probably knew that that opportunity was going to arise. He didn't know how it was going to arise, but he knew that opportunity was going to arise that he could share. And when the opportunity arose, fear overcame him, but he did not allow fear to dictate his actions. He allowed the Holy Spirit, what he had been praying for 4 months about, to direct him and for him to make decisions in regards to what he was supposed to do regarding Israel. Isn't that amazing? That's an amazing story. And so once he got to Israel, in the beginning, he didn't have a plan how he's going to do it. So he didn't even tell anybody what he was doing. And he just started going out and looking over the place and trying to make plans. I'm sure he was praying the whole way. Lord, how in the world do I do this? This is an overwhelming task. I don't know what to do. How are we going to do it? I'm sure he was praying that. That's what I would have been doing. And since Nehemiah was a praying fellow anyway, that's what I'm assuming. I'm sure he did. And he's talking to the Lord, and finally, after he comes up with a plan, he says, church, this is what we're going to do. And the community, the Israelites who lived there in the area, decided, you know what, let's do that. And they worked together to build that wall in 52 weeks. Crazy. Crazy. 1 year's time. And matter of fact, I think it's less than that. You remember Pastor Bob?
6 months.
And you're probably right. I think you're right. I think when I said 52 weeks, that doesn't sound right. How much is 52 weeks? Yeah, my brain is kind of foggy this morning. On your communication card.
This is 52 days.
52 days. Okay. Okay, thank you. 52 days. So that's about 6 weeks? Less than 2 months. About 7 weeks. That's crazy. Oh, the wall was all circles Jerusalem. We're talking on a hillside. Yeah. And part of them were working. And it just wasn't like, hoo-hoo, let's go build a wall. There were people who were against them and trying to stop them and trying to stop the work that the Lord had given them to do. And Nehemiah says, get out of the way. We're going to do our thing. People were trying to discourage them, trying to impede their work, trying to do everything they could to stop them. Nehemiah knew what the Lord wanted him to do. And he did it. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have such a prayer life that you knew what the Lord wanted you to do? Sometimes. And then have the faith to know that he's going to help you accomplish what he's asked you to do. Wouldn't it be nice to be a Nehemiah? So here's what I want you to do. On your communication card, just a couple of things. Would you pray for and with a spirit of love? Would you pray for and with a spirit of thanksgiving? Would you pray for and with a spirit of repentance? Would you pray for and with a spirit of discernment? For yourself? For your community? And for our nation? That was kind of the outline that Nehemiah used in his prayer. Pray for a spirit of love. Not only pray for a spirit of love, but pray with a spirit of love. Pray for and with a spirit of thanksgiving. Pray for and with a spirit of repentance. Pray for and with a spirit of discernment. I ask you a question. Can this church change a nation? I believe that with all my heart. You may say it's impossible. It's not impossible. If Nehemiah can change a nation, this church can change a nation. But it's going to cost a little bit. It's going to cost maybe some television time. It may cost some social media time. It may cost even some family time. Or it may cost some sleep time. It may cost a meal time. It may cost some pleasure time. It may. Work. Suffering. Cough is suffering. So this is what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be spending more time in prayer. And I'm asking you to do the same thing. If you have to get up a little early to make that happen, I'm asking you to do it. If you're willing to meet with me at the church or meet someone, get together with someone and pray, then let me know that. We'll hook you up. Okay? Father, I come before you today. Lord, as we go to the invitation time, I just need to open the altar here today. And maybe there are some commitments that need to be made here at the altar. Not just writing it on a card, but made here at the altar. Lord, there was a lot of distractions today. I feel like the enemy was working overtime so that we wouldn't be able to hear this message or be able to put it into practice. But Lord, I pray that you'd call us out. Lord, that we would be a people who have your ear. And not only have your ear regarding prayer, but be willing to do whatever you ask us to do. Wherever you send us, whoever you ask us to talk to. We ask in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Let's stand together. Again, the altar is open if you need to just come and kneel, or if you want to talk.